Okay, good morning all. Exciting morning. Sorry, Masechah Shabbos. So a few quick notes before we jump right in. So number one, Masechah Brachos is by far, I would say, the most learned Masechah, probably because it's the first one of Shas. So everyone feels like, oh, I'll start learning, and then they do that, and they don't do anything further. It is comparatively, relatively easy, the Mishnayos, because the concepts are kind of just like they roll off the page. Everyone understands. Everyone's saying davening Mara every day, everyone's davening Shacharis every day. So if you're doing these things, so the concepts are somewhat familiar and somewhat relevant to you. Shabbos, people think it's the same thing. Oh, so you learn Masechah Shabbos. So I keep Shabbos every week. So the Masechah should be just as easy. It's really not. I always say that if people really understood all the laws of Shabbos, it would be an incredible thing for the Jewish people. They are very extensive and very lengthy. So God willing, today we'll start learning all the halachos of Shabbos, but really it's not the easiest Masechah. So God willing, we'll probably go just a little bit slower than we do with Brachos, just so we can get a full understanding of everything that we are learning. So we'll open up with the first Mishnah over here. So the Mishnah opens up with a Hotzah, the Malach of Hotzah, that carrying, you can't carry on Shabbos. This again is not something that feels so relevant to us nowadays, because thank God we have an Erev. Most communities have an Erev nowadays, and if you have an Erev, so the Malach of Hotzah feels almost irrelevant for people. That's a longer discussion for another time, that should we really just totally rely on the Erev for everything? Not for right now, but so this Mishnah talks about Hotzah. So the Malach of Hotzah has a few different components. So basically, in order to fully carry, so there are a few parts that you need to do. So you need to lift something up from somewhere, and then you need to place it somewhere else. And it has to be from one domain to another, right? So I have to lift up from a Rishus HaYachid, from a private domain, and then I have to bring it to a public domain. That is technically violating the Yisr Dor, right? So the Torah prohibition of Hotzah, of carrying on Shabbos. So let's jump right into the first mission over here, and we'll see. It's not so simple, but we'll try to make it as palatable as possible. So Yitzios HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, U'Shtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. So in order to violate the Hotzah on Shabbos, there are two categories, meaning that there are two potential isuris or raisa, right? Torah prohibitions that really become four prohibitions, because there's an additional two rabbinic prohibitions on top of that, and there are two, and that's for a person who's standing inside, and then there are two Torah prohibitions for someone who's standing outside, and there's an additional two rabbinic prohibitions for that person standing outside. So in other words, if you have two people, right? The Mishnah will give examples. You have one person standing outside the house, one person standing inside the house. So there is a total of eight possible prohibitions that could happen here. Four prohibitions for the guy standing outside. He'll have two prohibitions from the Torah and two rabbinic prohibitions. The person standing inside or whatever, the other one, he'll have two potential Torah prohibitions and two potential rabbinic prohibitions. So how is this possible? What are all these cases? So ha'ani, a poor person, a normal case, a poor person standing outside collecting tzedakah, ha'omi b'chutz, who's standing outside, u'bal b'ayis b'pnim, and the owner of the house that he's knocking on the door for, he is standing inside. So pasha ta'ani, es yado l'pnim, the poor person takes his hand, right, and sticks it inside, v'natan l'toch yado shal b'al b'ayis, and he... And the ani gives the basket. Basically, he has like a basket to collect money. So the ani gives the basket to the Baal HaBayis, right? So he has done two actions. He lifted it up from the outside, and then he brought it inside, and he put it down on the inside. So that's one possibility. Oshana talmi tocha, or the poor person brought his hand inside the house, and the he took the money from the Baal HaBayis, okay, the Hotzi, and then he brought it outside. Ha'ani chayav, the poor person is obligated over here. He violated a Torah prohibition. Baal HaBayis pator, and the owner of the house is totally exempt, because the Baal HaBayis was just kind of standing there. The poor person either brought his basket in and gave it to him, or he took the money out of his hand and brought it out. So that is a full lifting up and a full a placing down, both done by the poor person. Pashat Baal HaBayis, but now the other, so those are two Torah prohibitions. Pashat Baal HaBayis, the owner of the house, he sticks his Pashat Baal HaBayis yado lechutz, he sticks his hand outside, v'natan l'toch yado shel ani, and he osha natal mitocha v'hichnes. So either he gives the poor person some money in his hand, so again he takes it from the inside and places it in the poor person's hand outside, or shenatal mitocha, or he took the poor person's basket, right, to put money in, he takes it from the outside, brings it in the inside v'hichnes, and he puts it down basically on the inside. Baal HaBayis chayav ani pator, the owner of the house is totally obligated. and the poor person is exempt. Pasha ta'ani. Okay, so those are the four possible Torah prohibition cases. What are the rabbinic prohibition cases? Well, we'll see. So since there are basically two full actions involved in violating the Isra Votza, you have to pick it up in one domain and put it down in another domain. Well, so in the previous two cases, we had one person doing both of those actions. Well, we'll see. The rabbinic prohibition is if you do only one of those actions, either you pick it up or you put it down, that will be a rabbinic prohibition and not a Torah prohibition. Pasha ta'ani. So the poor person sticks his hand, esyado lifnim, he puts his hand inside, okay, so the poor person again is holding this basket, right, to collect the money. He brings it inside, takes it out from the inside, it brings it inside, okay, but doesn't put it down, he's just holding it, right, he doesn't actually put it down anywhere. And the owner of the house takes the basket from him, right, instead of the poor person giving it to him, the owner of the house takes it from him. Or the poor person didn't have a basket, he just put his hand, he reached his hand inside the house, okay, and the Baal Bayis puts the money in his hand, right, and then the poor person pulls his hand out, so in that case, the owner of the house put the money in, and the poor person took the money out, okay, so each person did one thing. Shnei and Peturim, both these people are exempt. So one of the questions given is, why do we start the Masechta with Hutzah, right? The Hutzah is not the first Malacha, it's actually the last Malacha. So why is it started? So some people say that the reason why the Masechta started with this Malacha is because it teaches lots of important concepts for the upcoming Masechta ahead. One of those ideas is that there's a concept of Patur Aval Asur, that when we say that a person is exempt, we mean they're technically exempt from a Torah prohibition, but they are obligated from a rabbinic standpoint. So both these people are exempt from a Torah prohibition, but each of them have violated a rabbinic prohibition. Pashat, okay, those were two more cases, right? And then finally, two more rabbinic cases, and finally the last two rabbinic cases. Pashat Baal Abayas Es Yado L'chutz, if the owner of the house sticks his hand outside, V'natal Ha'ani Mitocha, O Shenatam L'tocha V'yichnes, so, okay, so the guy brings the money outside, or he doesn't put it down, and the poor person grabs it from him, or the guy sticks his hand outside empty, and the poor person puts the basket inside of his house, and the guy brings it inside, both these people are exempt. So there you have it, those are the eight cases. Again, they're kind of complicated, but those are the basic ideas, that if you do one of the two acts of picking up and putting down, then you are violating a rabbinic prohibition. If you do both of the acts, both picking up from one domain and putting it down in another domain, you have violated an Isser D'oraisa, a Torah prohibition. God willing, we'll go through the rest of the Mishnah. So you'll see, some of them are equally as complicated, and some of them are not as complicated, but God willing, we will do all of them slowly and clearly.